Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire radio program is for April 19th, 2020. And we're going to be looking at, did God do this? You know, this virus thing and everybody freaking out. Did God do it? We'll talk about it. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. It is amazing to me how little we want to know and do know about any given subject, eh? I want to remind you, I don't know why I'm doing this because you're not going to do it anyway, but for those of you who have been listening to this radio program for years or our TV programs and have never offered a donation in support, I'm asking you to do so now. You must know that everything is very tight. I lost a lot of sponsors. Things are difficult right now. And if you have felt that this radio program, my TV programs that you see on the website at aspire.org, or any of our services have helped you, I hope you will make a contribution, a donation, a tax-deductible gift. We are also now doing Saturday mornings. Since I can't go to the Cherry Center where I normally do my discourses, we're now doing them via Zoom at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. It's kind of, we'll have a basic subject, but you can always ask questions just like you do here on radio if you like. And I'd love to have you join us. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see events. If you click on events, you will see the Zoom Saturday morning discourses and how to click on with us. You don't have to even sign up, but you do have to download Zoom. Anyway, it's a wonderful way for me to kind of be with my students. And now we can be with people from all over the country. And if you're interested, there it is at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, if you're interested. Did God do all this? More than any other question I get, did God do this, and is this the end of the world? That's the subject for today. Much as I find it ludicrous, everybody hitting the button, the panic button, and everything. So you got to do some level-headed awareness here, not thinking, but if you become ever so slightly aware, you'll see the bigger picture here. So let's get into this and see what we can do. The first question comes from Raymond in Colorado. He said, did God do this to punish us for all of our sins? Raymond. No. You know, your idea of God, maybe, I guess there is nothing that could sway most people from understanding God. God is not what you have been taught, like it's a man or a being that sits in the heavens somewhere and lords over this whole thing like a chess game. I don't know where people get off with this. I guess I've read the, well, yeah, I have. I've read the Bible. Haven't enjoyed it. I didn't think much of it. It's filled with all sorts of traditions and ceremonies and metaphors, parables, all sorts of things. And I had, Dr. Hunt. He was my teacher for the Bible when I was back in seminary, but he didn't know anything particularly exciting. I barely got through that class, to be honest with you. I was falling asleep. He'd just sit there and read and play with his cufflinks. So I look at the Bible. I've had some interesting Bible teachers later on at different colleges I went to, different seminars, just listen to all the things that they had to say. And if you base your idea of God on knowledge that people have, let's say religious knowledge, you're going to be screwed. I'm just going to tell you that. It isn't the way it is. George Lamsa was one of my teachers, and he was a spectacular teacher. He really was. And he came from the Middle East. He studied it. He read Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek, all languages he knew very well. And I learned a great deal from him about it all. And even he says the same thing with the parables and the allegories and everything. It is not to be taken literally. But people do. And you didn't live back in those days when, well, maybe you did. Maybe in an incarnation you did live there. But it's ridiculous to think that you could realize the nature of this thing you call God from the point of view of someone who wrote something thousands of years ago. I mean, it's just ludicrous to even think those thoughts. So this idea you have of a vengeful God, a God that, and I've said this before to you on the radio, that creates Adam and Eve, and first Adam and then Eve, because Adam couldn't be alone with himself. He had man disease. I'm not going to go into it all, but from the very get-go, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole thing, it was a mess, and human beings have made a mess of the world since the day they touched the earth. And we'd like to blame God and say, well, we didn't do what God wanted us to do. So like the average parent, God came down and kicked our ass. And that's what this plague is all about, this virus, this pandemic. It isn't true. None of this is all made up in our minds. Because we have these finite pedestrian mentality traits. We go to our genetics. We don't really see things for the way they are. We don't research. We don't do any scientific insight. We just don't care. What we care about is this stuff that our intellect, our philosophies can absorb and understand, and then we go from there. And we make up stories, all sorts of stories. Stories about there is a God. How do you know there is a God? What kind of God would do this? Raymond, think about it. What kind of God would do this? Would you want anything to do with that kind of dude? Really? And if you would, then what does that say about you? What's going on within you? What are you all about? Are you needing someone to answer to, a big daddy that's going to come down and kick your butt for being human, which he made you in the image and likeness of? I mean, really? Really? You're going to go down that path? You're going to think those thoughts? You're going to do that kind? Really? Yep. Most people do. Because it's easy. Because it's simple, it's dumb, and it's easy. And it's a no-brainer to just say, well, I feel vengeance. God must feel vengeance. He created me in the image and likeness of himself, and he's teaching me a lesson. What would that lesson be? Tell me. What would it be? Stop overpopulating. Stop having sex. You're going to tell the public that? Okay. This is all due, this whole thing, what happened with the virus? We will never know, because we're not supposed to know, because it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do, well, I would say it has to do with governments. I'd say it has to do with those who are in control. I would have to say we won't ever know. We will not ever know. Do you know anything that happens on a global level? You think you know what happened at 9/11? You think you know what happened with Jack and Bobby and Martin? You think you know? We don't know. We're not supposed to know, because they want to keep us in the dark, and they're always pointing fingers other ways. Hell, even the government doesn't know. They don't know. I don't know. You know? I don't know. This I do know. I All I know is the scientific aspect of it. I do not put any credence in religious beliefs or philosophies that says God this and God that. And these ministers that are telling you that God is pissed off at you and you better straighten out and fly right or you're going to die. And really, if you worship that, if you pay money going to a church for that kind of message, that tells you something about the state of your love, which you should be more concerned about than the plague itself. You should be very aware. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey of your life. So, come on, really, get over it. Why not take a look and maybe cooperate, stay indoors, do everything that they ask you to do, and start doing some research on your own about it all. There are many, many things you can look at, but if you want to get involved in all of that, you get involved in it. It's a waste of time because the truth is never on the internet. So if you want to do that, you want to do that. Personally, this is a very good time to get reestablished in yourself. This is a very good time to find out who you are, what you are, where you are within yourself, what haunts you, what blesses you, what good you can do, changing a lifestyle. This is a very good time. People want everything back to, quote, that quote, normal. I don't really think that's very intelligent either. But there you are. That's the American public. This is what we want. We like our entertainment. We like to run through life, not know why. Not know why we're here. Not know why we do what we do. Not understand anything beyond our own emotional desires and beliefs. And conjure up ideals that just aren't there. And you can't talk people out of it. I've tried for years to help people with it. You can't do it. So what the real question should be is, what am I doing to punish myself during this time? And why are so many people having such a difficult time being alone? I get it all the time. I hear it on NPR. I'm so alone. I'm old. Well, get acquainted with you. You're never alone. And if you believe in this God guy the way you do, then you're never alone. And he can be there torturing you all day long and making your life miserable. And hey, rock and roll, baby. You're not alone. And you better not pout. You better not cry. You better not screw this up. I'm telling you why God's watching you. It could get worse. And this is all superstition. All of it. All of it. And don't think that you're ever going to find out what really happened, because you're not going to know. I'm not going to know. No one's going to know. No one. No one. We live in an age of great deception. I'm sure that didn't please you, Raymond, but you wrote me, and I'm very grateful you did, and thank you for your kind email. And please forgive me. Namaste. Insane, insane. The human mind has got to always find out why this, why that. And when it can't find out, it makes stories up. It just makes up everything. Next question. This person wanted to remain totally anonymous. So totally anonymous they are. Is this the end of our world? Will we all die? First of all, I don't know if it's the end of the world. Well, how would I know? What are you going to do? Go to scriptures? Go to prophecies? Go to Nostradamus? What are you going to do? Who knows? If it is, it is. It'd probably be a great refresh button for the universe, because we're a pain in the butt, all of us. Is this the end of the world? It's the end of the times that we lived in the frivolity of our ego, our vanity, our pride, the way we have. Now, we're still going to do it after this is all over. It's going to be party on. I'm watching these videos from NBC about these kids going down for spring break, and they're drunk, they're stupid. I'm going to party on. I don't care if I get the virus. You know, this whole thing. Look, your life and mine are never going to be the same. Never. When this all concludes, supposedly on April 30th, our whole lives are going to go back. How they're going to regulate us back into our lives, acclimate us back in, I do not know. I know that's a political situation, and I'm not into politics. But whatever it is, I can guarantee you, none of us know what's going to happen. But our world is never going to be the same. And there is a deep mourning that people are going through. They're very unhappy about the fact that they won't get to do and say and play and live their life the way they had hoped they would, or the way they did. Things are going to be very different, very different. And those differences are going to make a change in our culture. In fact, whatever our culture is, I don't even know if we have one anymore. It's going to make changes in our society. And it may be that that's exactly why all this happened, by the hand of whomever and whatever exists that makes these changes. So you got to look at it and realize this isn't going to go back to what you and I would say is normal. I don't even know what normal is. I don't get normal. Normal just doesn't exist for me. And I am ready to change to here, to there, to that, to this. It happens with all of us. It happens in the world. We're in a flux. We live at the epicenter inside this world of impermanence. Nothing stays the same. We are in a constant flux. So sitting there in your home and gritting your teeth and hoping that there is going to be a breakthrough where we can all go back to normal isn't going to happen. This is going to change the world. And will it change it for the good? I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to be a soothsayer here. I have my my deep opinions about it, and I'm not going to do that to you. I love you all too much to give you Greg Penn opinions, so I'm not going to say what I think might happen. But I am going to say this. If you think that there is a norm that you can get back to, you're going to be wrong. Whatever this is, however we are being reset, that's what it is. Is it the end of this world, of our world as we know it? Yes. Is it the end of life here on the planet? Far as I can see, no. But what do I know? Scientists don't even know. So I'm not going to sit here and say to you, yeah, everything's going to be fine. I don't know. We live in impermanence, again, over and over, impermanence. And then you ask, will we all die? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Depends on our maybe genetic heritage, how healthy we are, how old we are, what we're prone to in our bodies. I don't know. But if we are going to die, the question is, how are we going to die? Am I going to die being angry and hostile and fearful? Am I going to die in the sense that everything that I am doing right now in my life is to stay alive at all costs, even to people that I care about or love or that I say I love? Am I doing unkind things to these people in order to stay alive, to do the things I want to do and blah, blah, blah? What am I doing? Are we all working together? Everybody says we're in this together. Really? I don't think so. Not from what I've seen out there. The people, the way they act and react, I don't see that. I see people trying to get along with one another and be polite, but people are deeply afraid. They don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to work. So there's a lot of fear. ambiguity out there about what's going on, and that's the issue. There's an old saying, you know, only don't know. Just only don't know. A little Zen saying, and I believe in it totally. Only don't know. I don't know. And every day I live as if it's a gift. And that's the way I live it. I live every day as an opportunity for something beautiful to happen, to be revealed or have something revealed that's important. That's the way I deal with it. And I live quietly in my home with my Cocker Spaniel. I live aware of my work. I try to help my students. I do everything I can to be of service to humankind. And that's all that really matters to me. And anything else is just Greg Penn craziness, and I just don't go there. I just don't. Live quiet. Live simple. Live in solitude. Find silence. Those three things. You do that, you've done very well during this period of time. Thank you, Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous. The last question comes from Grant. He does not tell me where he lives. I've lost everything, Greg. Money, family, job, friends. Why? Grant. He's talking in his email about this pandemic. He lost his job. He lost his savings, and he talks about his family. I don't understand that. I guess his wife left him, he said, and his friends. Why? Time for a change. It's just time for a change. Reinvent yourself. Time to look at yourself from another point of view. Time to maybe go a little deeper, find out what is the meaning of my life. This is a time to find the meaning of your own existence. Losing all these things doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Maybe it's your time to find out what the meaning of your life is all about. Maybe this whole thing is about finding the love that lives within you. Maybe that's really what it's all about. The wise person upgrades, as it were, starts looking at their life from a perspective that they didn't have before all of this started. Maybe you could find that perspective. Maybe get in touch with who and what you are. Do a little self-observation. My God, you could even do some meditation. Did I say the M word? Yeah, you could do some meditation. You could start to learn about things you couldn't learn before. You could maybe think about how you want to reevaluate your entire lifetime and maybe live it in a different way, have a different kind of job, discover what it means to be alone and sitting alone within yourself and not being lonely. How about that? That's like getting in a pool and not being wet. You can do this. Maybe your time is now. Maybe this time is the wisest, most opportune time you've ever had to let love live you and to really discover the beauty of love, that it doesn't depend upon people being around you or people liking you or people disliking you. Maybe there's more to all this than we can think. And maybe if you're wise, you will go and do those things that make love possible within you. Stop looking at the flesh and start living in the spirit, the heart. Stop looking for the flesh to make you happy, to make you sad, to give you good or to give you bad. Get rid of all of that in your inclinations. Start to look at your life from another point of view, that this is all about love. Maybe not the love you understand, but all about love. And maybe you need to understand that love. Just a thought. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful questions. If you ever have a question, let's say for next week or whatever, You can reach me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And we'll be doing our Zoom cast, as it were, on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. Go to the website, take a look at events, and there you will see Saturday Morning Discourse. Click on it and come and join us. You can ask questions there, too. Have a beautiful weekend. Know you're loved, and please forgive me, hey? Namaste.